Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, good stuff as March Madness is ready to tip off. And my goodness, Shane, now we're looking at about 45 minutes.
Yep.
So, and don't forget, we're your home for March Madness basketball all day long right here on your home for sports, KFH. Michigan State and Bradley.
Yes.
This is where the Valley is now, Shane.
Yes.
The Valley is a 15 seed and a one bid league.
Yep.
That's where we are. That's the reality.
USA Today had a poll that they ran for the winners based on the awesomeness of their mascots. And this is the only way that Bradley will beat Michigan State, because Kaboom is number one in the 68 mascots polled by USA Today. That's where their luck likely runs out. Number two was the Northern Kentucky Norse, followed by the Sun Devils of Arizona State. And then two Gales tied for fourth.
Yeah, Iona, how about that?
Iona and St. Mary's, a pair of Gales. But back to this Bradley-Michigan State matchup. It's at 145. It is in Des Moines. First round of the East region. 18.5 is your spread there.
Yeah, you're right. It may not be that close.
First appearance for Bradley since 2006, when they went to the Sweet 16 with Patrick O'Brien and company. There's this, although it's about to be broken. Missouri Valley has won at least a game in the last seven NCAA tournaments.
Stop.
Well,
not going to happen.
I'm just saying.
Not going to happen.
First meeting between these two schools in 11 years. Michigan State won the previous one by 16 points.
And it probably won't be that close today.
I don't know that.
I mean, I'd like to see Bradley play well. I mean, they didn't play that well in the Valley Championship, which I actually watched, honest with you.
They couldn't score.
No, they were not good. And
one of our prop bets was, will somebody be held under 40?
Ooh.
... Keep an eye on Bradley. See how many points they can score today, because it might not be very many. Let's not waste any more of our valuable time on Bradley and Michigan State.
Move it
Belmont
along.
And Maryland. This is better. Maryland's 27th NCAA tournament appearance, fourth in the last five seasons. They've won at least one game, Maryland has, in 23 of their last 26 appearances. Belmont got its first win with that first four victory Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Third Ohio Valley team to earn an at-large bid. We talked about this a little bit the other day. Belmont thought enough, the committee thought enough of them to give them an at-large. First out of the Ohio Valley since Middle Tennessee did so in 1987. Belmont beat Temple 81-70 in the first four game on Tuesday. The spread is Maryland by three.
Right.
Well?
Yeah.
Floor's yours.
This one doesn't even fall into upset possibilities, does it? Does it, Shane?
I mean, really,
if you're only a 3-point underdog, then it's not really an upset. So it's in my upset possibilities category, but this is more of a anyone's game. Belmont has maturity. They have size. They have the advantage of having played a game in the tournament, which I do think is an advantage. Even though you got to turn around and you got to travel and you have one day to do it, I just think the energy that you get from winning a game, you don't have to break through the, you know, oh my God, we're playing in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. you know, thing for the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game. Here's the thing that would concern me if I'm a Belmont fan. Purdue, which is in the same league as Maryland, really in a very similar kind of team to Maryland. Purdue's a three, Maryland's a six. really were able to kind of stifle Belmont with the size of their athletes. And Belmont was held to like 31 or 32% from deep and or 30% from deep. And Belmont really needs to be hitting shots to play in a game like this. So can Maryland play that kind of defense against a Belmont team that's very capable? I don't know. This one to me is kind of a coin flip. I think Belmont is good enough.
I want Belmont good here. Yeah, I'm going with him.
All right. Good.
All right. The game you can hear right here on KFH, pregame at 1:30, opening tap at 3, Northeastern in Kansas. The Jayhawks extend their own record with 30 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. Final Four last year. No consecutive Final Fours since 2002-03, though. 46% of their points, Jayhawks, I'm talking about, are in the paint. Highest percentage in the conference. And Dedrick Lawson, of course, had 20 double-doubles, and he's the guy that everybody will be looking for in this game. This is the first tournament appearance for Northeastern since 2015. Their last NCAA tournament win, 1984.
Hmm.
Northeastern Huskies, got anything for KU today? KU is a 7-point favorite.
Northeastern falls into my long shot category along with Yale, Vermont, and Old Dominion amongst teams playing today. I don't know. At some point, you just have to believe in the athletes, don't you, Shane? Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, I mean, don't you just say,
oh, the only equalizer is bombing in a bunch of threes.
And that's what Northeastern will try to do. And we talked about that yesterday. We talked about that yesterday with Brian Haney. This team is capable. But what team isn't capable when they're hitting 52% of their threes? That skews any game, doesn't it?
Sure.
And they've got three or four guys that can do it, so you got to account for that, and you've got to close out, and you got to defend and do those things. I just think Kansas has too many athletes in this game. And do I think Kansas is going to go deep in this tournament? I don't. I don't think that they get by Auburn in the next round, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm going to trust in Bill Self and KU's athletes in this game. Even though this is, what, just a 6.5-point spread? Maybe Northeastern plays inside of it, but I suspect Kansas wins this a little easier than maybe people are giving them credit for.
I'd have Kansas winning this game and then losing to Auburn next, kind of to your point. They'll probably win. How long will they stay around? It'll be tough for them to hang around to Kansas City. But this is the first minefield, and a bunch of three-pointers is probably the recipe if Northeastern's going to do it. Maybe, I don't want to say game of the day, but the one that
I'm bearing down on.
Murray State, the 12 against number 5 Marquette. Marquette Golden Eagles have not won an NCAA tournament game since getting to the Elite Eight in 2013. But Marcus Howard is averaging 25 points a game for Marquette, on pace to be the most in Marquette history. He has 4 career 45-point games, including a 53-point game this most recent January against Creighton. No other player has ever scored 45 points in a game. He and Ja Morant, who averaged 24.6 points per game, are the two highest scoring players to make the NCAA tournament this year, and they're playing in the same game.
Well, we've games like this have had a tendency sometimes to disappoint. I think this one is money, because so much of the offense flows through both of these guys that even if they're not hitting shots initially, they run the type of offense, and they are so important to their respective teams that they just will keep firing. I think this game has just the best potential for the most interesting, fun game of the day to watch. And Marquette, by the way, in a 5-12 game, only a 3.5-point favorite in this game. So I don't know. This, to me, is one of the toss-ups of the day. And this is a 12-5 game that, to me, is a toss-up. Murray State winning this game I don't think would be that upsetting. But watching those two guys play, Shane, is worth the price of a ticket.
Ja Morant leads Division I in assists as well, at just over 10 per game. Baylor's Nelson Haggerty averaged 10.14 in 94-95. That was the most in a season. Since assists became official, only six Division I players have averaged 10-plus for a season. Morant is barely over 10 points, 10 assists per game right now. And on pace to become the first player since assists became a deal to average at least 20 points and 10 assists per game. That's Ja Morant, who is projected to be the number three pick in the 2019 draft. So that's about enough said on that one. The over-under, by the way, is at 149.5.
Wow.
So figured to be a points of plunder.
I like that. That's fun.
550 tonight in the West, 10-7, Florida and Nevada. Wolfpack in 2018 got its second Sweet 16 in program history, where it lost to 11 seed Loyola of Chicago. Nevada started the season 24-1, got to as high as number 5 in the AP poll. Jordan Caroline, transfer from the Valley, has 18 double-doubles, second most in the Mountain West. Florida, on the other hand, with 15 losses, tied for the most by any team to receive an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament history. Florida plays the slowest pace among SEC teams, averaging only 65.5 possessions per game. Nevada, we know enough about them by now to know that they're more high-flying than that, but they're basically a one-basket favorite over Florida.
Here's something that I think will surprise most fans. Nevada is bigger in all five positions on the floor than Florida. That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
That's really odd. A team from the Mountain West playing a team from the SEC that is bigger at every stop on the floor. I like Nevada's experience in this game. I really do. They're only a 2.5-point favorite, which speaks more about the Mountain West than it does than it maybe even does Nevada. But Florida's lost a lot of games this year. And there are usually reasons for that that I think get exposed in tournaments. This is my kind of this isn't anybody's game category, but I'm pretty firm on Nevada in this game.
All right. They have lost five of their last eight games. If you're into the how you've been doing lately kind of thing.
Yeah. No, you're right.
All right. Something to file away. Maybe much like the Bradley-Michigan State game, Abilene Christian takes on Kentucky tonight at 6:10.
Move along.
Okay.
Thank you.
The spread is 20.5.
Not the biggest spread today. That would be Gonzaga.
For the Fighting Calipari's, but yeah. 20.5.
Yeah. Yeah, Gonzaga is a 27-point favorite over Fairleigh Dickinson.
Okay, speaking of Gonzaga, the team that beat him in the conference finals, St. Mary's, 11-6 against Villanova. Some intrigue I would think.
I think there's a lot of intrigue. And again, with a 4.5-point spread, is this an upset? Barely, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this falls into my upset possibilities, but I put a little asterisk by it. It's a barely an upset.
Has there ever been a more nondescript defending national champion?
No, and they've lost a lot of games.
Well, and lost a lot of guys. They do have
and lost a lot of guys.
Phil Booth is back. He's the active NCAA tournament scoring leader. He's got 102 points in his NCAA tournament career. St. Mary's beat Villanova in 2010. That was the last meeting between the two schools. St. Mary's plays slow, too.
They do.
Slowest pace in the WCC, and that's a big reason why Gonzaga only scored 47 against them in the conference tournament.
But in a game that's in Hartford, St. Mary's is going all the way across the country. Nova is essentially not too far from their backyard. Don't you feel like Nova's NCAA cred kind of carries them a little bit in this game, even though I think St. Mary's is very credible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting watch game. And when you stop to consider that 11s have beaten 6s 8 of the last 12 times in the last, 3 years, maybe this is one worth watching. I would be surprised.
And if Villanova misses a handful of shots early,
and it's a slow pace,
they start to grip a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe. All right, we've got four or five more to finish off. We'll try to get to a little OTD, get you ready for the start of March Madness, which is tipping off in about well, literally 34 minutes from now. You'll have it right here for you on your home for March Madness, KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.